Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Wednesday of the 18th week in Ordinary Time, and from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from Atlanta, and her preaching today is entitled The Double Miracle Story.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." And he said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said to him, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The event we hear about in today's gospel does not take place in Galilee, Jesus' home turf, but rather in the region of Tyre and Sidon, Phoenician cities where relations between Jews and Gentiles were often tense, even hostile. Now, why is Jesus there? It doesn't seem as though he's gone there to preach. Immediately before his passage, he's gotten into an argument with the Pharisees and scribes who accuse him of breaking with the tradition of the elders. And then he has another tense conversation with his disciples who seem unable to understand anything he's been trying to pass on to them. Right after this passage, he's back in Galilee healing again. So it seems like this trip to Tyre and Sidon was meant to be a quick trip. Most likely he went to the region trying to catch a break, trying to escape for some alone time, to take a rest from the crowds and the constant questions and demands and requests to do this or that. I'm sure you know nothing about days where you just need to get away, right? But of course someone finds him there, yet another person in need. Perhaps the harshness of his response to the Canaanite woman's request just came from exhaustion. To call someone a dog, even a little dog, as the original Greek term kynarion implies, is never a compliment in Jewish culture. Dogs were regarded as unclean animals, and in Jesus' time, the term was used for heretics and enemies. Now, maybe the words just slipped out before he had a chance to think them through. Maybe he meant it as a joke. I'm not sure it matters all that much if you're on the receiving end. You can easily imagine that the woman might have been so offended or humiliated that she'd leave the space in haste, maybe slam the door on her way out. But remarkably, she does not. Instead, she catches the metaphor that Jesus has lobbed at her and begins to play with it. She says, "Nai," which in Greek means yes, and, like, "Yep, I agree with you. You shouldn't take children's food and throw it to dogs. And even dogs get to eat the scraps that fall from the table." Her words seem to shake Jesus, and he praises her faith. Her faith in what exactly? Her faith that he might change his mind? That he might come around? In Mark's gospel, where this story is also relayed, Jesus' response is less ambiguous. He praises her for speaking up, for challenging him, saying, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. For saying that, you may go." I think maybe we should talk about this as a double miracle story. There's the obvious miracle, the woman's daughter being cured. But there's also the miracle of this conversation itself. because this could have turned out so, so differently, right? The woman, stung by the impact of Jesus's words, could have justifiably left with a poor impression of Jesus forever in her mind. And Jesus, knowing he was simply beleaguered and needing privacy, could have defended his comments. Look, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm just teasing. You should know that. But in this conversation, Jesus and the Canaanite woman model a capacity that is rare, intense, hostile times. It's the capacity to separate intention from impact. And looking around me at the world today, I'm not sure that that was not the greater miracle. So often when we know that we've got no real intentions in an interaction, and we believe then that we're having no real impact on others. And if we find out that others have been offended by something we've said or done, we believe that they should understand. We didn't mean to offend them, and that therefore they should not hold that against us. When we ourselves have been offended, however, we have a really different reaction. We tend to believe that others meant to offend us, or if they did not, they must have some chronic character flaw that makes them unable to see what any normal person should be able to see. In such situations, one of the most helpful things that we can do is to make a distinction between intention and impact, and then to honor both as important. It is possible that we meant no harm, and we can express that, but we should also acknowledge that our words and choices nevertheless have hurt another person, and their hurt is also true. And when we've been hurt, we don't need to ignore our pain, yet we can ask what the other's intention was. Sometimes the other will have had good intentions that landed badly. Often we'll discover that the other person had no intention at all, was not aware of how we'd be affected. Now, that's not to say that repeatedly hurtful language and behavior are to be excused. They need to stop. But one of the most effective ways we can help them to stop is for different people to continue to speak up about the impact without getting tangled in debate about the offender's motivations. Only the offender will ever truly know what their intentions were. And only the offender will ever truly know the impact. In a season when tempers flare so easily and labels far worse than little dog are bandied about regularly, the interaction between the Canaanite woman and Jesus might nevertheless shock us. Yet it can also give us hope. Like the woman, we have the capacity to de-escalate conversations that have started off poorly, choosing to engage with a sense of humor and charity. And like Jesus, we have the capacity to be shaken, to acknowledge, and to change course.